Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top six things to check out in the Epcot China Pavilion. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode 97 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation. For the week of November 6th, 2016, this is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Today, the podcast is sponsored by Ear to Their Travel. If you're planning a trip to any Disney destination, give Phil at Ear to Their Travel a call. Phil is a former Disney cast member, so he really knows how Disney works. He can help you plan all the details of your next vacation at no extra cost to you, while making sure you get the best deal on your trip. You can reach Phil at eartotheirtravel.com. It's a place with thousands of years of history and culture. It's a place that invented many things, from compasses to gunpowder, and it's a place that's a bit different and mysterious. What is that place? It's China. You can get a taste for this amazing country without getting your passport out, so today we're going to cover the top six things to check out in the Epcot China Pavilion. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome back someone who enjoys a good stir fry, the owner of Ear to Their Travel, Phil Gramlich. Phil, welcome back.
Thanks, Herb. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back. And I do enjoy a good stir fry. I'm actually a big Chinese food fan. I did back in the day, I think it was a Tuesday, I actually wrote an article, I think for your site, that was all about Chinese food in Walt Disney World.
Yes, I remember. For New Year's, right?
Yeah. Because it's actually my wife's family's New Year's tradition is to get Chinese food every New Year's Eve. So I like me some Chinese food. I've never been to China. Someday, hopefully, I'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you can't get there, visiting the China Pavilion is a pretty good way to get a good taste of it. So actually, before we dive in, the warm-up question for today, Phil, your favorite thing about Space Mountain?
All right, so this is going to be really obvious. I know you always say you're Captain Obvious and you go with the obvious ones.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing is sitting in the front row in Space Mountain. Because for some reason, if you have people in front of you, you can kind of sense what's coming because you see their hair, their shoulders dip before you do. So you kind of can, you're not completely unaware of what's happening. When you're in that front row, front seat, you can't see anything in front of you. And I love it because every time I hit one of those hills, it's like, oh, like you just, you've like, tense up and you feel it in your stomach and I love it. I love sitting in the front row there.
Yeah, that is a lot of fun. I was going to say I like the unknown in Space Mountain because everything is dark and it kind of ties into what you're saying. You don't know what you're going to see. And so I should have looked it up. The top speed of the Space Mountain attraction is, I don't know, something like 28 miles an hour. I mean, you probably go faster in the parking lot. But you don't know what's coming, and it's lots of very tight twists and turns. And that, I think, is what makes it exciting, because you just don't know what you're going to get. And so that I think, heightens the thrill of it.
It feels so much faster than that, doesn't it?
Like, yeah.
It's crazy that you get almost the same kind of feeling from riding Rock and Roller Coaster that goes twice as fast as you get riding Space Mountain. And I love that, though. I do love that you even if you've been on it, you can't memorize the track.
Yeah.
So even if you've been on it 100 times, it still gets you. You still get those butterflies. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. And if you've had the opportunity to be on the People Mover when the lights are on inside of Space Mountain, you can see why you can never memorize the track, because it is just this twisted jumble of turns and drops. And it makes you wonder, how do people get out of that alive? It's so packed in there.
It looks like a bird's nest.
Yeah.
It's everything. And with the lights on, everything is so bright in there that you can't imagine. You've heard like the rumors and the, I don't know if they're urban legends or not, of people who, who are extra tall, that cast members will tell, don't put your hands up. They go out of their way to make sure, like basketball player type guys, keep your hands. Everyone's supposed to keep their hands in the car, but not everybody does.
Yeah.
But they, there's rumors that people, they'll come up to you and tell you if you're really tall, hey, don't put your hands up. Because you can see how close the top of that is to your head. It's pretty close.
Yeah, it does seem like it is. Usually I'm a hands up on roller coasters type of guy, but that's one where I kind of keep it in a little bit.
Yeah, I hug the lap bar now.
All right, good. So back to China, the top six things to check out in the Epcot China Pavilion. And Phil, number one is over to you.
All right, so this one is on the, when you're walking through the pavilion, it's on the lagoon side. It's closer to the lagoon. It's a cart, and it's a, you know, a snack cart called the Joy of Tea cart. Or maybe it's just called Joy of Tea. I forget what it actually says on the sign. I don't think it says to work hard. But so it's exactly what it sounds like. There's a tons of different types of tea that you can get. Not just hot tea, though. There's iced tea, and there's they have a couple slush drinks. They have like the the mango green tea slush, and let me see if I can say this right. The strawberry oolong. Is that how you say it? Oolong? Oolong?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Tea slush as well. I don't know. Jeez. When I say I can't speak Spanish, oh my God, I would never even think about speaking Chinese. But they also have lots of different snacks. They have like barbecue pork buns and chicken curry pockets. But the best part of this cart is the lucky combo. Okay. It's the best deal that you can get in Epcot, in my opinion. Might even be one of the best snack deals you can get anywhere in Walt Disney World. So it includes a pork bun, a chicken pocket, an egg roll, a drink, like a soft drink, and an ice cream. And it's $9.98 is the price on that. It's a lot of food. That's, you can have that for dinner. You can have that for lunch. If you are super hungry, you can have that as a snack. And I'll tell you what, that's one of the better deals you're going to find anywhere in the parks.
Yeah.
So I think for me, and like I said, I like Chinese food. I'll get that stuff. I'll get that even during Food and Wine Festival, even when there's a lot more options there, because it's such a great deal and it's a lot of food.
Yeah. Yeah, the Joya Tea Cart, I think, is, it's easy to walk by, but it's amazing the selection of food that they have there. And I was going to say, it's almost like its own tiny little Food and Wine Festival Chinese edition. Yeah. Every day, because you can get so many different things there.
Yeah, you're right. It really is. And it's funny, like when they put up the China card, I'm like, I don't need to go to that one. I have the Joy of Teas right there.
Yep. Yeah, Joy of Tea is one that I think is easy to overlook, but it's definitely a winner. That's a good
one. I think you're right, because it's on that, like I said, it's on that lagoon side. So many people are looking back towards the pavilion. You kind of can walk right past it.
Yep. Good. All right, that was number one. Number two, over to me. So I am going to suggest that when people enter the Temple of Heaven, which is the giant pagoda-like building that you go through to get to Reflections of China movie, that you take a minute and look up. So the inside of the Temple of Heaven is amazingly painted and decorated. It's truly a work of art. So I think taking a little bit of time to just stop and admire what you see inside the Temple of Heaven is definitely worthwhile. So I actually had the opportunity to see the actual Temple of Heaven in China, and you know, it looks kind of the same, except Disney's version is newer. but it is beautiful on the inside. So take a moment to pause and just soak in the culture and the artistry that is inside that building.
Yeah, well, I didn't know you got to go to China. That's very cool. Yeah. Yeah, there's one thing about that room too, inside the temple. It's the acoustically perfect room, right? So if you're on one side of the temple and somebody else is on the other, you could whisper and that person could hear you all the way on the other side of the temple.
Wow.
It's a really cool little thing. And if you stand in the middle, like right dead center in the middle, and you talk, you'll hear, you know, yourself in a way you've never, like you'll actually hear yourself speaking from the echo. It's really, like it's not in your head. You'll hear it. It's cool. Yeah,
that is neat.
Yeah, and you know what's cool about that too, inside they have the, it is technically inside the temple, right? The Tomb Warriors exhibit.
Right, yeah, to the side, yep.
Yeah, so that's very, very cool. Something like that too, that's a real thing in China. Like that was, I should have written this down. I forget the name of the actual site in China. But there's like hundreds of these tomb warriors that were buried in the sand and in the dirt in China for like 1500 years. They were from like 210 BC or something, and they weren't found until 1974. And they have like a perfect, it's a replica of them in the temple. So it's very cool to go see that. I mean, they're like, you know, I don't even know what, a tenth of the size of that it would be in real life, but
yeah,
still very, very cool. And every face on, even on the model one that Disney has, every face of this on the soldiers is different.
Yeah.
So imagine the artistry that it took to make something like that. It's crazy.
Yeah, you're right. And I think what we see in Epcot is just a little taste of it, but it is still amazing to see. And to think that the emperor had all of these terracotta army men made, it's just extraordinary.
That's the word I was looking for. Terracotta. Darn.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. That was number two. Number three, back to you, Phil.
All right. So as you know, as your listeners know, I have little girls. I have two. I have a 5-year-old and a almost 4-year-old. She'll be, when we're recording this, it's September. She'll be 4 in October. And I also have my son is also into the princesses, and he'll be 4 in October as well. So one thing that we're constantly on the lookout for are princess meet and greets. Constantly are looking for them. And Disney does a great thing on the My Disney Experience app when it works, when you have Wi-Fi. They have all the times listed for the princesses. In China, of course, you get to meet Mulan right in front of the temple that we were just talking about. Mulan does a meet and greet several times a day. I believe it starts at 11 a.m. She goes for about 15 to 20 minutes, and then she'll go back. Then she'll go back in backstage for a while, and then come back out at 12, and then 1, and then 2, and then 3. And her last one is 4:50 p.m. And she's one of those characters that I don't know if there's anywhere else to see her in the park. I'm pretty sure there's not. So, which is weird, because when I was in Disneyland, I was walking through the main turnstile, and she was out in front of the train station. I was like, it's crazy in Disneyland. There's no rules. Hmm. No rules at all.
Wow.
One day there was Ariel standing out there. I'm like, there's no rhyme or reason to this. Anyway. I like theme. I got to understand why the character's there. Anyway, it's like right now with Stitch in Magic Kingdom. Why is he in Town Square? I don't get it. Sorry, another rant that I went on. But anyway, Mulan meet and greet is fantastic. She'll spend a couple minutes with your kids. It's awesome. Or if you're an adult and you want to meet her, that's totally fine as well. And one thing, though, make sure you get there 10 to 15 minutes. Get in line 10 to 15 minutes before her appearance, because there will be a long line, and the cast member, the character attendant, will cut that line off.
Mm.
So if you see a long line and there's a cast member standing near it, you're probably not going to be able to get in. You're probably going to have to wait for her next appearance or for her next day. So look at your times guide, see when she's going to be there, and then get there, I would say, 10 to 15 minutes early. Get in line so you're guaranteed to meet her, because it's a really cool, really unique meet and greet.
Yeah. I can't think of another spot around the Walt Disney World Resort where I've ever seen Mulan.
No, I mean, not since the Mulan movie came out, and there was the Mulan parade at Hollywood Studios. I think she had a meet and greet there for a while.
Hmm.
But other than that, what's weird is she now, off the top of my head, I don't know. Is she technically a princess? I don't think she isn't, right? So that's why she can't meet at Princess Fairytale Hall.
Hmm. Could be.
So I'm pretty sure she's not. I don't think she is. She's just the daughter of an ex-general or something. But yeah, she's not a princess as far as I know. Hmm. And the guy whose name I can't remember, the love interest in the movie is a soldier. He's not a prince either.
Yeah. Huh. I guess they're not in the right social class.
That's too bad for Mulan.
Yeah. Too bad for her.
You got to go to Epcot. You got to get to China to meet her. That's it.
Yeah. That's a good one. All right. That was number three. Number four, I'm going to suggest that if people are around the China Pavilion, that they take some time to check out the acrobatic performances. Sometimes they take place on the outside, kind of across from the table service restaurant. Sometimes they're inside in the waiting area where you hang out for the movie. But I think some people think, oh, well, acrobats, whatever, seen that. But these athletes, these young men and women, have amazing strength and capabilities to do contortions and crazy things that it just don't even seem possible. Every time I see a crowd gather around, I try to take a few minutes to check it out, because it is truly an amazing performance of some people who have come from China and who have trained their entire lives to become incredible athletes, and it's worth seeing.
Yeah, I mean, There's a part of this show that I've seen, which is incredible. There are two male performers, male acrobats, big, like just complete. They're just muscles with heads. Like, it's crazy how strong these guys are. And the one guy climbs up on the other guy and does a handstand on the guy's, a one-handed handstand, not even just a handstand, a one-handed handstand on the other guy's head.
Mm.
And they hold it there.
Yeah,
it's for like a few seconds. He hold, and you're watching it. And you're like, how is this even possible? Yes. Like, I couldn't even. I can't even do a handstand against a wall.
Yeah.
Like, how is he doing a one-handed handstand on another guy's head? And I, listen, I consider myself in somewhat decent shape, and I can't, I could never do something like that. It's amazing what they can do.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're walking through China, you're right, Herb. If you see that crowd lining up, get over there, get your camera ready, because there are some, they do some amazing, amazing things.
Yeah. I always wonder, how do you get to do that the first time? I guess you have to build up your strength and your endurance, but you know, are you falling down on the guy below, you know, about 50 times before you get it right? I just sometimes wonder, how do you even attempt to do something like that so that you get to a point where you can do it? It's just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. You just reminded me, you look like poor Dopey falling off the boat in Phantasmic once Goofy for the first couple times you try, I'm sure.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that YouTube video, everybody was okay, nobody got hurt. You should YouTube Goofy, Dopey, Phantasmic and see it, because it actually led to them, to Disney, installing new safety rails on the Phantasmic Steamboat because of it. So yeah, it's definitely an interesting video to see.
Yeah, I was really, you know, when you watch it and you know everybody's okay, it's kind of fun, just like you said, and it's worth seeing.
Sorry, it's funny.
Yeah, it is. But when you first see it, you think, oh my goodness, what just happened? You know, and
right.
You know, a few inches one way or another, and somebody really could have been hurt seriously. But I'm glad that nobody was.
That poor character could have ended up in the water, and that's when you're seriously worried about, you know, their safety. That's why I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at the sight of it. Once you know everyone is okay, it's pretty darn funny.
Yep, agree. All right, number four was the acrobats. Number five, back to you.
Okay, so since the pavilion has been around, there's been a 360-degree movie inside the pavilion. This was called Reflections of China. I think they updated it in 2003, I believe. I think that's right. But the way the 360-degree movie is, they call it Circle Vision 360, and it's literally a circle around the entire room. So you stand in the you know, where there should be chairs, but there's not, because you need to be able to spin around and look at the whole screen. So there should be some chairs there, but there's not. And you spin around and look at the entire movie. It's really, really cool. It was a technology that Disney became really famous for when Epcot opened these 360-degree films. And it'll take you to places like Herb, you said you've been to China. I don't know if I'll ever get there. So for me, I can see places like the Great Wall of China, Hong Kong, Forbidden City in Beijing, mm-hmm. and Shanghai, you know, up close and personal. Although no Disneyland Shanghai just yet in that movie. But I'm assuming Disney loves their synergy. So I'm assuming in a few years, it's going to be like a cobble together end of the movie. And it'll be like Disneyland Shanghai, like a flyover or something.
Yeah.
But it really is. It really is. It's a beautiful film. And again, it shows a country that I don't think I'll ever see, because basically I'm a nervous flyer, and flying to Walt Disney World from Pennsylvania scares the pants off me. So I don't think I'll ever make the trek to China. So for me, it lets me and other people like me, you can see, you know, a lot of that country while you're watching that film. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, it is. I like the fact that you get to see a taste of a lot of different things. I think it's also interesting that they chose someone from Chinese history. I'll probably butcher his name, but Li Bai, who was a poet, and he tells the story of his country. He was a famous poet, so it was good that he was chosen. So, I mean, they could have just picked, you know, Joe and put a robe on him and said, there you go. But they took the time to say, well, let's look at Chinese history. Let's pick a character and let's put that character in here. So they spent some time thinking about it. And just getting to see some of the amazing sights from, you know, Beijing to the Great Wall to Guilin, it's just a really nicely done movie. So yeah, it's definitely worth seeing. I think a lot of people say, oh, here's another Epcot movie. Maybe I saw it once 10 years ago, check it off the list. It's worth going back to see again.
I agree. That's the one thing about the movies, the films in Epcot too, is a lot of them have been updated. They are worth going to see again. I mean, yeah, though it's not a thrill ride. It's not an attraction. It's not a dark ride, but you know, it's what Epcot was originally about. It was what the World Showcase was originally about, was the countries and the history and the culture. And I know people are upset because they think that's kind of losing its way. And to some, you know, and in some effect it might be. So it's actually nice to be able to go and experience this stuff while it's still there.
Yeah, agree. All right, number five, Reflections of China. Number six back to me. So this is a little bit of an off the wall choice, but if you head into the back of the pavilion and the store that's kind of in an open air area, there are some very interesting food choices there, some prepackaged food choices. So you're not going to see things like chocolate in China, but you will see some candies with interesting flavors like ginger or tea. And my favorite, which I tried once and I don't think is there anymore, was the freeze-dried squid. So definitely wander around back there and check out the prepackaged food choices. They're not things you're going to see at your local supermarket. Fun to try and have an experience and check out what a different culture thinks is interesting food.
Yeah, you know what? Next time, I'm down. I'm coming definitely for Marathon Weekend. We've talked about doing podcasts in the parks before.
Yeah.
We need to do a podcast inside the World Showcase and try different foods. I think that would be a lot of fun. We should try. What each of us should go into the store, buy a packaged food, bring it out, and the other person has to try it. No matter what, no matter what it is, you have to try it. I think that's because we'd be doing the culture a disservice if we didn't try it, right? And we'd be helping your listeners because then they would know what to expect when they go to that store on their next trip.
And we try to freak out each other is what you're saying, pretty much. That's what I'm hearing.
Ultimately, yeah. That's exactly what we're trying to do. You know what? Here's something really funny. You mentioned ginger, and I'm not a – I like gingerbread and ginger snaps, but I'm not like a pickled ginger or a ginger kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So go back 10 years, 11 years ago when my wife and I first got together. I didn't really like sushi. I wasn't really into trying it. But one night she convinced me, you know, we're going to get sushi. I'm going to get it. Pick out some really easy ones. You're going to love it. We got sushi. I'm eating it. I really, really enjoyed it. I'm fumbling with the chopsticks. I see something on my plate. It's pink. Looks like ham to me. Okay. So I'm going to try this. I thought it was ham. This is how ridiculously ignorant and dopey I was. I picked the thing up. I ate it. It was pickled ginger. I freaked out. Imagine if you think you're going to eat ham. And then for years, she still makes fun of me for this. She says, my wife always says, why did you think there was ham on a plate of sushi? And it makes perfect sense. Like cold cut ham, that's what I thought it was. And it makes sense now. I was a dummy looking back at it. But in that moment, I was like, yeah, I could eat ham. I could go for some ham. And I tried it, and it was not what I was expecting at all. It freaked me out. So speaking of freaking each other out with food, that was something that really freaked me out.
All right. So now I know one thing I have to be on the search for when I go.
Yeah.
So
yeah, when we're there for the podcast, you'll trick me. I'll easily think it's ham. Easily.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, good list. Number one, joy of tea. Number two, take time inside the Temple of Heaven. Number three, meet Mulan. Number four, check out the acrobats. Number five, see reflections of China. And number six, pick up some interesting prepackaged food. Phil, as always, was a good list.
Yeah, Herb, it was a lot of fun. Thanks again for having me on.
Thank you. So if folks are interested in getting your help in planning their next Disney vacation, what's the best way for them to do that?
So it's pretty easy. You can find everything. I have a blog, I have a podcast, you can request a free quote, all that stuff over at just one place, eartothertravel.com, and you'll find everything right there. It's pretty easy.
So I appreciate all that you do to help folks in planning their vacation. There's a lot that goes into it. And I've heard from many folks that you are very good at helping them through that process. So thank you for serving the Disney community in that way.
Thank you, Herb. Yeah, thanks for saying that. And I promise if you book with me, I will not force you to eat ham
or ginger. Or ginger.
Whatever it may be. It looked like ham, but you don't have to eat it.
Okay, Phil, thanks again.
All right, thank you.
Today we head out to the China Loop music, and we have made it through the list of the top six things to check out in the Epcot China Pavilion. But as always, the conversation doesn't have to be over. I'd like to hear what you think. You can add to our list by visiting the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/97. Leave your comments in the comments section and check out what other people think as well. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch with me, and I'd like to invite you to follow me on social media. facebook.com/worldofwalt and pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you like today's podcast, I would appreciate it if you would spread the word. Tell your family and your friends about it. To wrap up for today, I would like to give you a heartfelt thank you for spending your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who also visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can read interesting Disney articles and chat with others who enjoy Disney in the forums and in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is very, very cool. Thank you for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream.